At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
America's game. Eric Fanny. America's game. South Harmony. America's game. This is America's game. Now, South Harmony's everything can change. That warp tool made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. South Harmony intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode 108. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL, and you can find the show at America's Game Pod on X as well. And this week, I am joined by Matt Bruning of Campus Canton. Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. I'm excited to be back. Probably only a couple months ago, right? We were able to talk about some NFL draft picks, and now we're going to get to talk future possible NFL draft picks. Right. So I'm excited.
Yeah, well, right before the draft we talked, so I didn't even get to talk to you about the NFL draft. How did you think it all went, and anything surprising to you?
I'm trying to remember if I was. I know there was got to be something that surprised me out of that, but at the top of my head, nothing's coming. Like Tyler Shutt going as early as he did, I think was a little bit surprising. I was not super surprised that Shador fell, but I think a lot of other people were. I wasn't the biggest fan, or I shouldn't say that. I think he's a very good player, but I did not think he was worthy of like a top 10 pick. So I wasn't shocked. I think he probably fell too far. We'll see what ended up happening, obviously, with our Cleveland Browns and all that. Joe Cool starting, which I'm kind of excited about. But overall, I think it was a pretty good draft.
Yeah, I think we just do a whole hour of Joe Flacco talk. I'm good with that.
Let's do it. I'm here for it, baby. I'm here for it.
It's like all the Cleveland fans know Flacco's good and he can run the system and all that. Like, we're going to be a lot better than people think we're going to be. Like, everyone has this, oh, they're the worst offense in the league. Not with Joe in there.
Yeah.
Joe could throw it.
Maybe.
I'm excited for it. As long as they can keep him upright, I think we're good.
Yeah. As long as we don't have baby hands, Kenny Pickett in there throwing the ball, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they're going to keep 4 quarterbacks or not. I think they're going to be honest. But if not, I think the Saints need to be calling for Kenny Pickett to get somebody down there. Otherwise, I think Rattler is going to start, but who knows?
Yeah, good luck to the Saints with that. Not the best call, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So last we talked was the NFL draft or right before it. So yeah, nothing too crazy that I could really remember. Did you like the Browns trade for, you know, getting out of Hunter to get the extra first?
I mean, I don't know that Hunter would have. I actually like Travis Hunter. I think he's, you know, arguably, I think you could have made the argument the best receiver in the class had he just played wide receiver. I don't know that he would have been the best cornerback, but arguably one of the best. I mean, he was an incredible, incredible player in college football, deserved of the Heisman among everything else, all the other accolades that he got throughout his time in college. Personally, I kind of would have liked him because I just think he's a really good kid and he is going to work hard. I think he'd have been like the kind of guy you want in the Browns locker room, but I don't mind the trade, especially, you know, with everything it looks like they're building and everything, I don't mind it as much as I thought I was going to when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wanted Carter or Hunter. I was either one of those. I don't care which one. Whichever one they valued more, I was happy with. And both of them look like they're incredible already. Yeah. Just hoping Mason Graham shows a little bit more than what he's showing so far. But I don't mind the trade. You know, we'll see how it works out, though.
Yeah, yeah. We'll never know. We'll see what that other, you know, what the other picks and everything turn into.
Right. So, well, with them having two first-round picks, we can kind of get into it with our topic today, kind of just talk about some of these quarterbacks that could be coming out this year. I think the top one that I think a lot of people talk about is Lenore Sellers. Do you think he is probably the lead candidate to be the number one overall pick if he does come out?
Yeah, I don't see any way that he is not, assuming that he continues on the ascension that he was on toward the end of last season. So If you really go in and look at what he was able to do the beginning of the year, he wasn't overly impressive, which I think is also a fair thing. For those of you, man, I know he was a 3-star coming out of high school. Like, he was not a guy that was highly rated by the services. We at Camps DeCanton had very high, and I want to say On 3 really got onto him late and had him, I think, in their top 15 quarterbacks. But again, top 15, we're not talking like top 5. He was not a guy that people viewed as like an Arch Manning, who I'm sure we'll talk about at some point in time tonight. Yet I think Sellers arguably has the highest upside. Now, the player I'm going to compare him to in a way is probably not great with the way that it's worked out for him, but like, he has that like unicorn Anthony Richardson in him. It's just like this incredible athlete that can do it all. The difference is Lenore Sellers, from the minute he stepped on the field at college football, was already a better passer than Anthony Richardson. And I think we've seen that progress even more at the high school level. I mean, we have athletic comps at our website at campuscant.com. So just to give you guys an idea, we have like a star index score rating that kind of ranks how good you are from like every athletic comparison. Every single quarterback in the NFL, except for one, and I can never remember who the quarterback is, has a 0.70 rating or higher in the star index. Where obviously the higher, closer you get to 100, the better. Lenore Sellers for us comes in at a 0.917, and his top comparison just athletically is Justin Fields. So that's the kind of like athlete we're talking about here. Again, say what you want about Justin Fields as like a quarterback in the NFL. Athletically, he is a very gifted player. Lenore Sellers is up there with that. But again, I think just a better passer. He doesn't have like Fields has that elongated delivery, which I don't think that Sellers has. I mean, this is definitely going to be a big year for Sellers, but I think if he goes out there and continues what he did at the end of last year, I don't see any way he's not the number one pick, Arch Manning included, in this draft class if he decides to come out.
Okay. Yeah, I think with Sellers, obviously, I think in most of our leagues that are super flex and all that, two quarterback leagues, he's going to be the first overall pick most likely in all of our rookie drafts next year if he does come out. Even if he's not the first quarterback taken for whatever reason, I still think he is just because of the rushing upside. But yeah, I'm really excited for him. He's only like, I think he played at what, 19 last year or 20, and still really young. So really good arm.
Yeah.
Really good runner. You know, he did get better as the season went on too, won some big games there. So really excited for him. I saw him, I don't know if you've watched it at the SEC thing on Netflix.
Oh no, I have not. They dropped that documentary, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it goes if it's called SEC Any Given Saturday, and it's you'll love it. You'll eat it up. It goes through week by week, behind the scenes and all that stuff. I think Lenoris was on episode 2, but they had Lagway on there and Sellers. Diego Paiva was on one for the Alabama week when they beat them. Like, it is tremendous, really good stuff. It's like a hard knock, not kind of like a Hard Knocks, but it's kind of like a documentary one of going through it. But yeah, definitely recommend watching that. You'll love it.
Okay. Yeah, I will definitely check that out. I had heard about it, but I had not had a chance to watch it yet.
Oh yeah. It's really, really good. It's like any of these other documentary series that Netflix has been doing. So yeah, it's really good. So Sellers probably going to be, you know, one of the top picks next year. We can get into Arch really quick. I don't think he's going to come out. You think he's coming out?
I really don't. I mean, so obviously having the, you know, family tree that he has, right, and his uncles and Eli and Peyton, he can kind of slow play this if he wants to. I mean, here's the thing. I honestly think, and I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. I want to see what we get from Arch this year. If you really go back and look at what he did in his time at Texas and starting when Quinn Ewers was hurt, like, he was fine, but he was not great. Now, here's the thing. He is a much better athlete than both of his uncles. He will bring you rushing yards at the next level, at the NFL level. Like, Eli and Peyton were, like, you know, on a good day probably getting you, like, 10 rushing yards, right? Like, it was not anything that was anything like that. Manning, Arch can do that. He doesn't have quite the arm that I think Eli had. He's probably closer to Peyton's. He comps very athletic, very good athletically to, like, Joe Burrow, who, again, is a good athlete, but not, like, great, right? But we haven't seen him play that top competition and succeed. And, I mean, I know you watched this game, right? We saw it, too, in that Ohio State playoff game where, like, when at times when Ewers were struggling, they brought Arch in. But what you saw them do is they just ran with Arch. Arch never passed the ball. If you go back and look, a lot of times when Sark brought Arch in, it was to actually run the ball, not pass it. This will be the first year that we actually see Arch really kind of take control of that offense. It's going to be a very interesting Texas team. They are probably the favorites to win the national championship. So he should get a lot of playing time. But I think for him, it makes a lot of sense to come back for one more year and build that up into going into that next year's draft class. But, I mean, if he goes out there and wins a national championship with Texas, I mean, I don't see any reason at that point why maybe not to come out. But I think this is a big year. I think I am more like 50-50 with him than I am. Like, Sellers, I think, is probably more leaning toward the NFL, especially, like I said, if he continues to progress. Where Arch, I could see it going either way. Honestly, even if he wins a national championship, maybe he's convinced to come back and try and repeat.
Yeah, because, I mean, listening to McShay, who's close with the Mannings and the quarterback camp and all that, like, it seems pretty locked in that he's going to be staying. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that ends up. I think the one interesting one for me is, what if, which is a very good possibility, the Saints have the first overall pick and he wants to go home and you know, where grandpa played and all that. Like, I think that's an interesting one, but I would probably put it like 70-30 that he stays. You know, like you said, they're probably one of the favorites to win the national title this year, play Ohio State week one, probably going to beat Ohio State because Ohio State's got way too many new guys compared to Texas. I mean, Texas has a lot of new guys in too, but I think new quarterback that hasn't really played for Ohio State. Ohio State notoriously fucking struggles in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if they're playing Akron or Marshall or whoever, that always struggles. So I think it's going to probably be Texas winning that game, but it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good game as well, but yeah, I would, if I had to pick one right now, I would definitely favor Texas in that game again, just because, you know, again, I understand that Arch is starting this year. It's his first year really starting at quarterback, but he's been in that system. This will be his third year in the system. He knows the system. Yeah. He's got really good rapport with some of those guys. Leading receiver DeAndre Moore, they brought over Emmett Mosley from Stanford, who's a really good receiver as well. They still have a very good offensive line. So, like, and they lost some players on defense, but they still kept some of their younger guys, the freshmen and sophomores from last year, who are now going into their junior year. So, like, they're kind of going into the year kind of what Ohio State was last year. Granted, Ohio State brought a lot of those guys back, right, that could have gone off to the draft, which helped them. But, again, Texas is coming in with, like, a lot of those elder statesmen, however you want to put it, the veterans that know the system. So, yeah, I think, granted, I would say the Horseshoe is not an easy place to go play in. It's going to be week one. Everybody's going to be jacked up. But I would give Texas the edge.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, I'm going to group these three guys together because I think they're big – kind of household names that people are going to know, but Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, Cade Klubnik, Clemson, and Drew Allar from Penn State. What do you think about those three guys and, like, their NFL futures?
So we'll start with Garrett Nussmeier because he is the oldest of the group. He technically could have come out. He's a 2024 classification. So he could have come out for the past 2 years at this point, or last year. And then this past last draft class. Very good player, right? Very strong arm. I'm trying to pull up. What do we have? We have his velo at 57. So, like, we had Josh Allen in high school, which, again, I mean, not to pretend like we thought Josh Allen was going to be amazing. But Josh Allen, I believe, is our highest ever velocity thrown pass that we have tracked at Camps to Canton in high school. And he threw 63 miles an hour.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, which you see, right? You can see it on the NFL field. Dude's got an absolute, you know, piss missile when he throws the ball. So anything like 59 to that is absolutely elite. Garrett Nussmeier comes in at 57, which is really, really good. I mean, we're talking upper echelon arms of college football and the NFL. What I need to see from Garrett Nussmeier this year is a little bit less of that gunslinger and a little bit more of I know how to run an offense. I think he was really successful at the beginning of the year in college football last year because defenses hadn't quite figured him out and hadn't quite figured out the fact that LSU could not run the ball. And with that, they kind of just started to drop a lot of guys in coverage and just say, hey, Garrett, beat us. And Garrett would try and force the ball into like triple coverage, you know, double coverage at times, suffered a lot of interceptions toward the back end of the year. But I think he has all the tools to be a very good player. Cade Klubnik, I really don't know what to think of Cade. I do want to mention, because again, I really think, and I don't want to take credit for this, the research that our recruiting team has done here, improving like the star index scores for quarterbacks is something you at least need to look out for. Garrett Nussmeier is at a 0.68, so he's under that 7 threshold. That
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And every quarter, there's every quarterback in the NFL except for one is above that 70 threshold. So that also is a, I guess, an interesting outlier just to look at from our perspective at Camps to Canton. Cade Klubnik comes in at a 0.56. And here's the thing with Cade. Like, I think he is purely system-based. Like, if I had to talk about him as a quarterback we were just talking about recently, he's Shador for me. Like, he just runs a system that is really good. And to give you guys a case in point for any of your NFL listeners who may not watch a lot of college football, I want you to take a trip down memory lane with me here for, I believe it was 3 years ago, when Ohio State should have beat Georgia in a playoff game, and they missed that field goal, and we watched Georgia go in and absolutely gobsmack TCU.
Yeah,
but if you go back and look at those stats, TCU had one of the best offenses in all of college football, and their quarterback, whose name is escaping me at the moment, Max Duggan, was at the Heisman ceremony, was a guy everybody was talking about, and then he got drafted in the 6th round, if I'm remembering
seventh
correctly.
Round, okay. Seventh, I think
yeah.
Seventh.
Okay.
And that offense isn't in the league anymore.
I would not doubt it because he was not that good. The offensive coordinator of the team was Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley's little brother, who I'm sure even NFL people know Lincoln Riley for what he's been able to do at the college football level, right? Just the quarterbacks he's put into the NFL that we all want on our teams. Garrett Riley has been Cade Klubnik's offensive coordinator for the past 3 years. And we finally saw that, or sorry, the past 2 years, we finally saw that come together last year for Cade Klubnik. But if you take a deeper look at his stats, he put up a lot of really good numbers against teams like the Citadel, Austin Peay, you know, Georgia, Southwest, Northwestern University, whatever it is. Sure. But in those really big games, he still kind of struggled, and we saw the Cade that he was. He's got a very low-level velocity arm, 53. Like, in my opinion, 55. That's where Joe Burrow's arm is, and one of the co-founders of Campus to Canton, Austin Nace, always talks about that. Like, Joe Burrow, like, don't get me wrong, very accurate. He's a very good quarterback. But, like, the arm strength is not his calling point. He's kind of, like, on the lower end of that scale, and his arm velo is a 55. Cade Klubnik's is a 53. So it's even lower than that. Sure, he brings some rushing upside and everything, but I think he's mainly a product of the offense. Now, if he does it again, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets drafted highly, but I see more bust potential with him than I do him being a home run at the next level.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm kind of the same with Klubnik. Like, McShay just did his early mock draft before the season started, and he has him at number one overall to the Browns. So, yeah. So, yeah, me too. I definitely don't want Klubnik, but I think if I had to choose a team other than, like you mentioned, Texas, like, I think Clemson's got a shot to win the national title this year because they are loaded on defense especially. And then the one thing that always stuck out to me whenever I looked at your guys' rankings throughout the summer, and especially your ranks and just the overall C2C and Devy, he's got 3 wide receivers in your top 10. And then there's, you know, I think in the consensus, they're like – three of the top seven wide receivers. So he's got TJ Moore, he's got Bryant Wesco, and he's got Antonio Williams. Williams is the only one who can come out this year. But he's got three good receivers. The tight ends aren't bad. They got you know, Randall's playing running back. Gideon Davidson's at running back, the freshman. We'll see how he does. So, yeah, I think Clemson's got a shot to be one of those teams that make some noise this year. I believe LSU and Clemson play week one, so we'll have Nussmeier versus Klubnik, so that'll be good. Nussmeier, too, I wanted to bring up. His dad is a offensive coordinator in the NFL, is the offensive coordinator of the Saints. So I wonder if that's a one, too, like if the Saints are picking in there, could they go Garrett Nussmeier so he gets his kid at you know, in the top. I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing I want to see again with Nussmeier. I forgot about that until you mentioned it. That's one of the things that they have talked a lot about is like he has that coach's mindset of being a coach's son has really kind of helped develop him. We didn't get to see that a lot on the field last year. But again, I don't want to put all that on him too, because defense is when you know you don't have a running game, and he didn't have some of the best receiving weapons last year. I'm also not a big fan of Brian Kelly. They transitioned offensive coordinators as well. Last year was a brand new offensive coordinator. So this is a year for Garrett Nussmeier to really prove himself. I forgot who the third quarterback was that you grouped in.
Oh, Drew Allar. But real quick on Nussmeier, I am excited to see him this year because they did bring in some new weapons. So Nick Anderson from Oklahoma came in, Barry and Brown from Kentucky. They got Teron Francis. They got Aaron Anderson. And then Tre'Dez Green, who I really like at tight end. I think the running game, like Caden Durham's like in the top five of your guys' rankings too. So if he is a top five running back, I think their offense should be really good, and another team that can contend for the national title.
Yeah, Durham broke out really well for them toward the end of the year as a freshman and really kind of helped balance that offense a little bit. So, yeah, that could be a big turning point for them this year.
And then, yeah, Drew Allar. I'm not a big fan of Drew Allar. I know McShay's not a fan of him. He thinks he's more of like a second or third round pick. But what do you think about Allar?
I mean, at this point, I think he has to be, which really sucks because coming out, I mean, we're talking about a guy who has the athletic traits. I believe it was 24/7 Sports that had him comp to Josh Allen. Now, I've never thought that Allar was that type of rusher, but he is a very good quarterback. He can do that. I honestly wonder how much of this is James Franklin holding him back. I mean, Franklin, if a player was open 60 yards down the field for an easy touchdown, he would be yelling at Allar to check it down to the running back. Like he's, I remember, and I want to say it was Jay Rich with Destination Dev. He sent me a clip one time of like someone asking James Franklin a question about that because it sounded like me asking the question. And he was saying like, would you ever let Drew Allar air it out? And he's like, no, we don't want our quarterbacks to do that, which is just asinine to me.
Right.
But it is what it is. I mean, he comes in at a 0.73 in our star index. Again, when we talk about elite arms, 60 miles per hour. He's got a 60 velo. So, I mean, we're talking one of the best arms that we've ever tracked. He's top five altogether. He just hasn't really been able to put it all together. And, again, I wonder how much of that is on James Franklin. I mean, again, you being an Ohio State fan, you've watched the Big Ten for years upon years, and you've seen that. The Nittany Lions have not been able to do anything at quarterback. And I just wonder how much of that is that just the – archaic offense that they run. But yeah, I think at this point Allar would have to take a massive step forward to kind of earn himself first round draft cap.
Yeah, he's got to be a lot more consistent. I actually want to see him produce a wide receiver. Like, they haven't even done that. Like, yeah, Tyler Warren was great last year, but that's about it. Like, but they're also a team that want to be 60-40 run, and they're probably going to do that a lot this year with two of the best running backs in the nation, who I'm sure we'll get into here shortly. But, Drew Allar, I'm not big on him. Let's see some other quarterbacks that were on my list here. You have this one really high who could come out this year, and that's Sam Leavitt from Arizona State. So I'll let you gush about Sam Leavitt.
I mean, I love Sam Leavitt. So he was a guy that I actually got to know. We've exchanged DMs here and there back when he was playing at West Lynn High School in Oregon. Nobody was talking about this kid, three-star, and David, one of our recruiting guys at our team, and myself with a big wide receiver guy, Austin, we were watching. It's like, this kid is special. We had him as a top 10 quarterback in his draft class. So he comes in with a star rating index of a 0.801. He is a much better athlete than he gets credit for. Last year didn't do a ton of rushing, but we kind of saw it. He kind of So his top comps are Jackson Dart and Steve Young. So that like that's the kind of like rushing quarterback we're talking about, but we just haven't seen it yet. Arm velo is up there with the best. He is at a 57. So again, right there with Garrett Nussmeier, who we were talking about. And the reason I really loved him, he was a guy I talked about last year at the beginning of the college football season, saying that he could break out, was Kenny Dillingham. Kenny Dillingham, I think, is one of those underrated offensive guys at the college system. I mean, say what you want about Bo Nix, who's actually kind of worked out in the NFL. Yeah. His best years in college football was his freshman season at Auburn, where Kenny Dillingham was his offensive coordinator, and then his final year at Oregon, where Kenny Dillingham was his offensive coordinator. And I said, if you can get a guy like Sam Leavitt, who isn't quite the rushing threat that Bo Nix is, but he's very close, to get into that offense, I think he can be an absolute stud. We saw it. I think he really turned it on. We just talked about that Texas team. That second half, I mean, I would bet most people turned it off at halftime because they were like, oh, Texas is about to walk away with this thing. And then he brought them all the way back. Now, sure, Cam Scadaboo was a big part of that as well. But here's the thing I really want you guys to look at. And I'm sure we'll talk about him when we get to the wide receivers. Jordan Tyson, who you could argue might be the wide receiver one overall in this coming draft class, went down. I believe it was 2 weeks before that game. They were throwing to guys like you and me, Eric. That's who Sam Leavitt had at wide receiver, and he was still putting up numbers. They went to the transfer portal and brought in so many receivers this year. Like, I think Arizona State, honestly, as crazy as this is to say, might be a sleeper to make it to the national championship. And I think a lot of that is on Sam Leavitt's shoulders. I think if he goes out there and even just has close to the season he had last year, should be considered a top 10 pick in the NFL. I absolutely love this kid.
Yeah, I think he's definitely one of the ones that you know, McShay has talked about that he's liked quite a bit too. So I think I agree with you. I think if he comes out, he should be one of the first picks. And even if he doesn't come out, like, I mean, that 2027 class, we already know it's loaded, but you're going to even probably have Arch, Lagway, Leavitt if he comes out then too. And I'm sure there's a few other guys as well. But yeah, that one's interesting. Let's go over a few more guys. Another one that a lot of people really like, and I know McShay has been talking about that he likes him too, but John Mateer, he's transferred over to Oklahoma, was at Washington State last year. Do you think he has some NFL upside? Do you think he could be a first round type pick?
Man, it's so hard for me to figure out what to do with John Mateer, because here's where it's going to get you, right? When it comes to the NFL of nowadays, it's no more of these statue quarterbacks. Mike Valerie, who does a lot of the Debbie stuff for us at Camp the Can't, talks about this. Like, you see one of those quarterbacks drafted, whether it's in the first or second round every year. It was Tyler Shuck of most recent. But usually it's these guys who can, like, do stuff with their legs. They can run, all these other things. Do you want to just take a guess? And I think it's going to surprise you. The top athletic comparison for John Mateer.
I'm going to guess what a lot of people compare him to, Johnny Manziel.
So, not Johnny Manziel, but... Johnny Manziel's on there. I shouldn't say that. That Johnny Manziel comparison is at 9.9%. So very high.
Okay.
It's Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
That's the kind of athlete we're talking about here. Mateer is a better passer. Now, we have Mateer at about a 55 arm velo, which again is right there in that range you want for an NFL arm. My biggest fear is, and I talked about this a lot back in the day with Ray, back like in his Discord talks and everything. I remember getting roasted for this, talking about Hendon Hooker and how I did not think he was going to be a first round pick because Josh Heupel's offense is very gimmicky for the college football level, and it's hard to translate that to the NFL. That is what Arbuckle's offense is, which was at Washington State, which is now coming to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I need to see it versus SEC defenses before I'll believe he's a first round pick. Athletically, he's got it, and I actually don't think he has any more eligibility. He might. I cannot remember for the life of me where he was before.
It says eligibility is 2025. So
okay. So I mean, he will not be able to come back. So he's going to have to do it all this year. Now, again, there are people who I know in the college football circles that I trust that are picking Oklahoma to make the playoffs because of this. If Mateer takes Oklahoma to the playoffs after the year we just saw Oklahoma have, that he probably will be in the first round discussion. He has the athleticism and the arm to get it done, but I just worry that he may be one of these quarterbacks that's coming in based kind of on to what I said about Cade Klubnik earlier, based on like producing at the college football level because of the offense and not necessarily have the mental skill to be a quarterback at the NFL level.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to work on his mechanics and all that a little bit. But, yeah, I'm with you. Like, they're bringing the offensive coordinator over with him to Oklahoma, too. Obviously, he's going to have way better weapons. They brought Jade Nott over, Barnes as the backup running back, Deion Burks as the wide receiver. Like, if those guys can do it in the SEC this year, I think, yeah, Mateer is going to definitely be in the conversation, first round, second round, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
God, there's so many quarterbacks that we could talk about. Go ahead and just write off a couple more that you like this year that you think could come out.
There's a fairly decent sized list here of quarterbacks I think could come out. I mean, number one, I think, you got to talk Carson Beck going to Miami.
Yeah.
So I'm not the biggest fan of him, and I am worried. I know everybody kind of talks about the fact that Brock Purdy had this arm surgery and has, still succeeded in the NFL. But Brock Purdy didn't have to rely on his arm the way Carson Beck did. We kind of saw some boneheadedness, and I honestly think there's some off-field questions with Carson Beck as well that worry me. I want to see what that arm looks like. Again, as a big baseball fan, like Tommy John surgery, in my opinion, is just nothing to sneeze at. I think we saw Big Ben go through this too, and granted, again, this was probably close to a decade ago now at this point with Big Ben. But Big Ben's arm was never the same after that. Now, again, I understand Purdy's is a little bit better, but Purdy's arm was not Beck. So, like, I'm just curious to see what that looks like. Josh Hoover is one that I think we should all really pay attention to. A TCU quarterback who passed the ball for almost 4,000 yards in his first year as a starting quarterback last year. It was like 400-plus attempts. Now, he doesn't rate very highly for us on some of the like, metrics. An okay arm, 55, but only a 5-star index score, so like nothing great there.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
And there's no really good comps. I mean, as best as Mark Bolger, for any of you who remember who Mark Bolger is. Mm-hmm. But he's a very interesting quarterback. I'll be very interested to see. I think his star score is a little bit lower than that. I think we saw a little bit more athleticism out of him last year for TCU. Gunnar Stockton for Georgia and Fernando Mendoza, who just transferred up to Indiana, are two interesting guys to watch. I don't know that they're first round picks, but I think could be guys that are maybe second round that are worth paying attention to. I'm trying to think of the other one.
I know another guy that McShay really, really likes is Sawyer Robinson from Baylor.
Interesting. I know a lot of people have kind of gotten on Sawyer Robinson. So, he has everything you want from an athletic standpoint. He comps very favorably to Joe Burrow and Jackson Dart. 0.85 star index score, 56 arm velocity. But also, the same thing I just said a minute ago. That offense, it's gimmicky at the at the college football level. But he was really productive for Baylor last year, did get injured. He'll have a full year here. I want to say he's also, this is his final year in college. He's been in college for a minute. So we'll see. I'm not as high. I think he could probably be a second round guy. I would find it hard to believe he pushes for the first round. The only other player, I think, so you have Dante Moore, who's going to be at Oregon, but I think there's a lot we got to see from him. The only other player that I think could push for first round draft capital is, again, credible athlete, comps favorably to Michael Vick, is Avery Johnson, Kansas State quarterback, who's a team that a lot of people are picking to win the Big 12 this year. He improved a little bit as a passer toward the end of the year, but I think he's really got to improve a lot more. Like, he's further behind than Lenore Sellers is, but 0.91 star index score. So, again, right there with Lenore Sellers, who we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, 55 arm velocity. But when I talk about those quarterbacks that really need to improve as a passer, like, Johnson's it. But he's got, again, a wide receiver who I think we might talk about at some point, Jace Brown, who's probably an NFL candidate. So very interesting season for him as well. If he has a really big season, again, I think because the NFL values those athletic traits so much, could be a guy that sneaks into the back end of the first round.
Another one that I've heard some buzz on recently that some of the NFL people like is Talen Green from Arkansas, and this is his last year of eligibility too. So that's another one that I should look out for.
Very, very good athletically, comps favorably to when we're talking about, like, an athletic comp. Trey Lance, Ryan Tannehill, 0.92 star index score, 54 miles per hour. My biggest thing with Green, and if I'm remembering correctly, is Boise State before he transferred up to Arkansas, which maybe he should have just stayed there, would have actually made the playoffs, I think, with how well him and Ashton Jeanty could have been together. But Talen Green is same kind of the same thing as Avery Johnson. He's just not a refined passer at all. Leg mechanics are really bad. I think his arm mechanics are probably fairly solid. Doesn't really throw from a arm slot that's fairly consistent. So I would like to see that improve more. But again, that was his first year in the SEC last year. I'll give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt and see what he can do in his next year's final season.
Yeah, helped beat Bama. Did get hurt in that game, though, yeah. But helped beat Bama. All right, final question on the quarterback. Who's the one guy maybe we haven't talked about yet, the way off the radar that no one's talking about that could be like this year's Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, that comes out of nowhere and is like the first round pick? Do you have one of those guys?
Man, that comes that's all the way off. I mean, so I gave you some. Avery Johnson was probably the one. Okay. I don't know how many people are talking about him. If I had to pick another... it would probably be, I don't know that he does it. Maybe I go Nico, although I think people know Nico Iamalu.
I don't know
what's his name.
I don't know if he's eligible yet, though, is he?
He's in the same class as Arch and them. I believe 24/7 Sports had him over Arch as their number one quarterback. Okay. So he transferred to UCLA this year. To play in a more pro style offense after, which I do think is a good thing. As I just mentioned earlier, Josh Heupel's gimmicky offense has not changed since the time Hendon Hooker was there. So he leaves that, goes to a more pro style offense at UCLA. He, you know, very good athleticism score, very good arm. You know, he again comps to a guy like Ryan Tannehill. So I'm sorry, that was not the right person. Forgot who is Desmond Ridder. I'm sorry, is who he comps to. He's got a strong arm, got the athleticism. If maybe he can prove it there again, for whatever reason, whether we at Campus Decanter or maybe other sites like it, the NFL still values the fact that those guys were five stars coming out of high school, and they kind of value that, kind of like we do in fantasy, right, where if you're a first-round quarterback, it's like, well, we'll give you a little bit longer maybe than we should. The fact that he was a five-star number one quarterback in his class, I think he's a guy who could – I think it's probably fairly lowly rated right now. If he has a good season and decides to come out, could kind of surprise some people.
Okay. I think my guy would probably be Jaden Maiava from USC. I think he's got a shot this year. He's got a couple really good receivers. Hopefully, you know, he's got one of the best quarterback coaches in all the land. So, someone did ask me, what's your thoughts on Aiden Chiles? I know you were a big guy of him. Do you think he's got a shot?
I was going to bring up Chiles. I just don't think there's any way he has to take like such a massive step forward this year to come out. I think he probably needs two more years. So the thing with Chiles is he's young for his class. I believe he was 17 when he entered college football and he broke his arm. So he backed up Malachi Nelson in high school for his first 2 years, who ended up not panning out, but he was also a top ranked quarterback. Mm-hmm. Then in his first year starting, I forgot the name of his high school now, which I hate because he's again one of my favorite players. I've actually interviewed him, absolutely lovely kid, and his family included. But he broke his arm after like two games starting, didn't get to play the entire year, so only really played his senior year in high school. He needs some time to kind of develop. I think the tools are there, but I don't know that he comes out this year. I thought about bringing up Maiava, and I'm glad that you mentioned him because I think regardless, he's gone. The kid they have behind him in Houston Longstreet is
really good. Yeah,
I think going to be the next great Lincoln Riley quarterback. And again, Maiava, who transferred up from, I can't remember who it was.
Was it UNLV?
I think it was UNLV. I always get them in New Mexico mixed up, but I think you're right. It was UNLV. Again, star index score of a 0.812. So you already talked about how great that is. Comps to John Elway, Mark Sanchez, 59 on the arm velocity scale. So, I mean, we're talking about right there at that elite level. With the wide receivers he has, and as you mentioned, the quarterback coach and Lincoln Riley, offensive coordinator, this could be a really big year for him.
Yep. Okay. All right, let's go over to the running backs now, and I think the number one guy that everyone's talking about, even though you have him at sixth on your rankings, and that's Jeremiah Love. What do you think about him and his NFL prospects?
Look, I love Love. I really do. You know, I'm a big fan of it. I think we should all have it, but here's the thing about Jeremiah. He is... very boom or bust, which I think is fine and can work at the NFL level. But overall, I am just interested to see what he does this year. You got to look at it from this aspect, right? Notre Dame, one of the best offensive lines last year. Riley Leonard, horrible. We saw that, although I guess he got drafted higher than my boy Quinn Ewers, which hurt a little bit. But here's the thing, right? If we're just going to go straight based strictly on running back, is the one position where I think as long as you're a really great athlete, you can mask a lot of your issues. Do you just want to take a guess at what he ranks in our star index score?
Ooh.
No. It's high.
It's high. Okay.
0.999.
Holy shit. Okay.
I mean, it's up there with Anthony Richardson as one of the elite profiles we have. He comps to Clinton Portis, Bijan Robinson. Like, those are his top two comps. That's incredible. 21.9 miles per hour, can get up to 22 miles per hour. That's elite. We are talking about elite skill set for this kid. My biggest fear with him is, yes, at college football, that elite athleticism helps you more than it does in the NFL. Sure, I think that he will be fine, but I think his vision struggles at times. I think his patience struggles at times. When the hole's there and he sees it and he's through it, yes, you're looking at, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80-yard touchdown. But he is that kind of guy, like, which, again, I'm about to compare him to a player who's amazing for fantasy, and we all love him, but I do not think he is that good of a receiver. To me, he's Saquon Barkley. And a lot of people, I think, view Barkley as this great rusher. Barkley's not, if you really kind of look at it. Like, even if you go back to his time at Penn State, he was very much like 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 80 yards, right? Yeah, like, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But I think that Jeremiah Love is that. Like, he's very boom bust. The biggest issue you're going to have, in my opinion, he is not the receiver that Barkley is. So, like, how much does that limit him at the NFL level? But I do think there's a chance that he's probably one of the top running backs drafted, again, just because he's going to go to the combine and just blow everything out of the water. Like, he's going to test him. Him and Nicholas Singleton are probably going to just, like, blow everybody's minds. Right. Don't pay attention to college football when it comes to the combine next year, because they're going to, specifically Singleton, because of his size and everything and how fast he's going to run.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said on Love. He was really good last year. Came on my radar last year with a lot of these guys. That was another guy I wish he would have played a little bit more in the college playoffs, but he got hurt, so we didn't get to see him against Ohio State and Penn State and stuff like that. So, but the good thing with Notre Dame is they always play a really good schedule. Like, they open with Miami this year in week one, so we'll see him in a really good big profile game week one. You mentioned Singleton, so we might as well go to him and his teammate, Catron Allen. What do you think about both of those guys?
So, I mean, again, I think when you're talking about just a player who's got an elite athletic trait, it's Nicholas Singleton. I mean, speed and burst are his speed, 95th percentile, acceleration, 94th percentile, burst, 85th percentile, 0.982 star index score. Again, here, I'm just gonna read you his top player comps and tell me which one you hate the most. Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Trey Benson. Like, I mean, the... yeah. All these guys, now granted, we haven't really seen it from Benson. Fine, cool. Benson, I think, has looked kind of good, at least so far throughout the preseason. Singleton, though, I think you could honestly just take everything I just said about Jeremiah Love and apply it to Singleton. Like, he's incredible burst, incredible long speed. Vision is iffy. And even more so than Love, played a really bad high school. If you go watch his high school film, and literally everything he does is bounced outside. He's improved that over his time at Penn State, but again, those holes really have to be defined for him. I think his vision really struggles. So it really kind of matters where he goes. And again, he is a better receiver than he gets credit for, but he's not Saquon Barkley levels. And I'll be honest, I don't even think he's Jeremiah Love level receiver. Like, I think he's had a fairly decent amount of catches in college, but I guarantee you, if we were to go look up his A-dot, it's probably one.
Yeah.
If that, one, like, right. it's a lot of swing passes and behind the line of scrimmage. So very, very good player. Again, I think he's a guy who you may start if, you know, you draft him as one of your top picks in fantasy next year. He's probably a guy that, like, there's going to be some weeks you hate playing him, but he's going to get you, like, 6 points. That's because he got, you know, well, he'll get more than that. I guess 9 points. He'll get 30 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries. He just wasn't doing anything. And then the next game, he's going to run for 150 in two or three because he has that game-breaking ability.
Yeah, and then the one thing I didn't like about him some weeks is, like, Catron Allen would just – you know, play over him, and you know, Catron Allen would get all the stats. Like, so I'm thinking, you know, as much as Singleton, how big he is and fast and all that stuff, like, I think he's going to have to probably be a part of a committee. And for, you know, he's your number one running back in your rankings for Devy. Like, you know, just kind of says, like, maybe the running back position, like, isn't as great right now. I think we have some guys coming up, but, you know, the running back position definitely isn't as good as it was last year's rookie class coming out, for sure.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Do you think Catron Allen's got a shot? Do you think he's kind of like maybe like a third, fourth round type player?
I think he's probably like better going in the third round. So Catron Allen, I've always talked about him as like, he's the kind of guy who NFL coaches will love, you'll hate for your fantasy teams. Because Catron Allen is a guy who just does everything right from the running back perspective. He's such a nuanced rusher. He's got fairly good feet. Very good vision, knows when to hit cutback lanes. He gets through, he'll get you the tough yardage and everything, right? So, like, Catron Allen is that guy that I think, you know, will come in. Like, when I view Catron Allen, I look at him, I'm like, that's a Pittsburgh Steelers running back right there. Like, just the way that he runs the ball and how good he is, that's the kind of guy that I think NFL coaches will fall in love with, but it's probably not a guy that's going to be great for you. Like, maybe in best ball in the weeks that they use him in goal line situations and he gets you like three touchdowns because he just, you know, it would say if it would, you know, translate right from Penn State to the NFL and it's him and Singleton in a committee, Singleton gets him all the way down there to the 5 yard line. And it's like, well, yeah, we're going to go to this guy because Allen's not afraid. Cause as big as Singleton is, he's not the most physical runner. And Catron Allen is not afraid of that whatsoever.
Yeah. That's one of those guys. He's just going to, you know, brings his lunch pail. He's going to do all the dirty, hard running. Yeah. He's going to be somebody that, you know, he's, I don't think he's going to be a starter, but he's going to be like a Brian Robinson type, you know, kind of player, I think. So I like him. We'll go through the guys that are definitely going to be in the draft here. So you got Jaden Ott, who transferred over to Oklahoma. Really good receiver. I'm kind of interested to see him. Like, I think in our PPR leagues, he could be pretty solid. Mekhi Hughes, who transferred over to Oregon, is one. And then the one that I definitely want to talk about, is Desmond Reed from Pittsburgh. Okay. I know he's very small. I saw his, like, I forget who it was, posted his like measurements or something. It was like 5'5 3/4", like 170 pounds or something. Like, I'm hoping he can bulk up a little bit because I really like him. But do you think he's even got a shot?
Yeah, so I'll start with Ott. I like him, don't love him, comps favorably to guys like Sony Michel and Miles Sanders for us. 0.876 star rating score, so like when it comes to being an athlete, he's very good. We have him at 21.1 miles per hour, which is, it's okay, but I'd like to see it more. But I think where he will succeed in the NFL is what you said. He is an incredible receiver. And in the games where, like, he really kind of struggled to get anything going rushing, which is more often than you would kind of like to see, especially from a running back perspective, he really kind of made a name for himself in the receiving game, which I think he will obviously be able to do when he goes into the NFL as well. Like, I don't see that skill set disappearing at all. So I think he is a guy who is going to be really good. Mekhi Hughes, I'm really interested to see what he does here at Oregon. So he transferred up to Tulane. He's a very good athlete, 5'10", 210 pounds, so like that perfect kind of like NFL body build that you have, 7.83 star index score, athletically comps to a Hall of Fame running back. Ooh, his top comp, Emmitt Smith. Wow. Now, I don't, obviously, that's, you know, you never want to say someone's going to be, you know, a Hall of Famer, but Mekhi Hughes can do it all, and I think is going to have a chance to really prove himself this year with Oregon, because I'd imagine he is a guy that not a lot of people know, right? Again, he played last year with Tulane. This is his chance to really kind of make a name for himself with Oregon. What I do like about that is I do believe he is arguably probably right there with Jaden Ott as a receiving back. In the past 2 years with Tulane, he's caught 30 passes. Again, that may not sound a lot for like NFL listeners, but like most running backs at the college football level,
maybe if you get 20, you're good.
Yeah, like most catch like maybe 6 in a year. He's got 30. He was 11 and 19. Will Stein, who's the offensive coordinator for Oregon, is not afraid. In fact, he loves checking down to his running back. So we might see a ton of that this year at Oregon. I think Mekhi Hughes might be in the running to be a guy who nobody's talking about that's drafted like right behind Love and Singleton, who I believe will probably be the top two guys drafted, and it'll be Mekhi Hughes next. Like, this guy, I think he does all the things you want from a running back as well. Now, the only thing he doesn't have is that breakaway long speed, 20.7 miles per hour. That is the one part of his game that he really lacks. But again, I don't think NFL teams care about that. And again, from our perspective, when we talk about PPR leagues, like, cool. Like, as long as you're getting me those PPR points, we're good to go. So Desmond Reed, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's probably the size that's going to scare me a little bit. So we have him at 5'6", 169. Like, that's just not going to cut it, right? Like, now, if you think about it from a perspective of, like, really good speed, what do we have, a 95th percentile speed, 21.6 miles per hour, so very close to that elite. Like, 22, you're talking about some of the best of the best in the world that run that 22 miles per hour. And he does have some very good burst scores and power scores as well. Comes very favorably to Chris Thompson. We saw have very good fantasy years there with Washington. I think Desmond Reed is a guy who could possibly go in the third round of your fantasy draft. His landing spot is going to be massive for him. If he goes somewhere who's going to use him, it's like that receiving back out of the backfield for big plays, then I think he's going to be really good. But if he goes somewhere and anybody expects him to be like,
yeah, running up the gut.
Yeah. Like a guy who's going to get 20 carries a game. You're going to be really, really sadly mistaken on that one. I just don't see that happen.
Yeah. If you're doing any college fantasy this year, he's probably, you know, top running back this year for stat wise. Like, I would, like, if you're want to dabble into some futures, like, I'd sprinkle a little bit of money on Desmond Reed to win the Heisman. I wouldn't, you know, rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, especially if Pittsburgh has a good year, this is definitely a more wide open year. I mean, everybody's projecting, you know, two of the guys we talked about at the beginning of the show, Garrett Nussmeier and Arch Manning, but, like, you know, if Arch doesn't have a great year, if LSU fails to make the playoffs, like, I think those are probably the top two guys right now. Cade's up there as well. Cade's probably the betting favorite because I think, as you mentioned beginning of the show, you know, they are probably one of the favorites to win national championship. They will not play anybody really tough this year. Although, final week of the season, just to throw it all out there, we talked about he's going to play Garrett Nussmeier in week one. If you really want to watch, you know, one quarterback, if you're a really big fan of Cade Klubnik, you can watch them week one against LSU, and then the final week of the season, rivalry week, they play South Carolina and Lenora Sellers. Yeah. So you get a chance to see two of the best quarterbacks going up against Cade Klubnik, in my opinion, in this draft class. It'll be a lot of fun to see what happens with them.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good one. The last two I wanted to bring up here real quick, Justice Haynes, who you have at second, going to Michigan this year, and Darius Taylor at Minnesota. What do you think their NFL prospects are?
I mean, look, I love Justice Haynes, and I think he's got a chance to really surprise some people this year. Comps very favorably to a guy like Mark Ingram, a 0.7 star index score. We have him at 21.3 miles per hour. That is the worst part of his game. Justice Haynes is a running back where I think he's overlooked a lot like Mark Ingram was in the fact of, like, Mark Ingram was just so good at everything, but not elite at anything that people kind of was like, well, Mark Ingram's not that good. No. Being that good at everything matters. And Justice Haynes, I think, is arguably one of the most solid running backs in college football. We did not get a chance to see it at Alabama just because of everything going around them and all the other running backs in that room. Look, we both hate that team up north, right? But what's the one thing that they always have? They always have a good offensive line, and they can run the ball. Justice Haynes, I think, is going to be in for a breakout year this year. Now, I don't think that he will be a first-round pick, and I don't think that he'll go as high as even those top three guys that we talked about in Mekhi Hughes, Nicholas Singleton, and Wyatt.
Could he be like a third-round pick like Blake Corum was?
I do. I think he could go higher than Blake Corum. So, like, I think if we see, say, Singleton, Mekhi Hughes, and Jeremiah Love, I think one of those guys probably goes in the first round. We've kind of seen that of late, right? Like, we're seeing at least one of these running backs go in the first round. If one of those guys goes in the first and the other two go in the second, I would not be surprised if Justice Haynes jumps up into the back end of the second or goes early third. I think he's got that kind of talent. Also, whether it matters or not, it does seem to matter to NFL GMs, NFL bloodlines. His father, I believe, was a linebacker in the NFL. So, I mean, he's got the NFL bloodlines in his blood as well. Darius Taylor, I really don't know what to think of Taylor. I'm not his biggest fan.
Yeah, I thought he was, like, he didn't have the burst, like NFL burst to me.
Yeah. Not only does he not have the burst, he doesn't have the speed, 27th percentile speed, 30 percentile burst. And, like, I think at the running back positions, you have to have that. Like, the NFL game has just moved away from those first second down grinders, that the 2 yards in a cloud of dust kind of guys, right? Which is kind of what Catron Allen is, but I don't think Darius Taylor is as physical as Catron Allen. So I think Taylor's probably more of a day three pick at best.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably in a similar boat there with you. And then I'll just mention a few guys. You can talk about anyone that you like here, but like Isaac Brown from Louisville, fast guy. Jamarian Miller could come out from Alabama. Dylan Edwards from Kansas State, I think, is another interesting one that could come out. Jonah Coleman, Washington, DeMond Claiborne, I know a lot of people have been high on from Wake Forest. Any of those guys that you think could be pretty good?
Miller, I think, is probably the best out of the group. He did get injured recently. I can't remember if they've said that he will be, if he'll miss a lot of time. I want to say that they've said it might be serious. So he might be a guy that unfortunately goes back for another just because of the injury. Claiborne is an interesting player. I think he's probably more of a day three guy. If I'm trying to find a guy, Isaac Brown is interesting. Obviously he had a really good year with Louisville. Really produced. He's got a 93 percentile speed score, 22.2 miles per hour. So, I mean, we're talking about when you're talking about like really fast, comps really favorably to Ricky Williams. I think probably is a guy who will surprise people, especially if he ends up going into the combine and testing really well. I would say him and, man, if I had to pick another guy, Waymon Jordan, who just transferred up to USC, is one who's interesting to me. He doesn't have like an elite skill set, a little bit on the lower end of speed, 20.8. So like he's close to that 21, which is kind of where I want most of my running backs to be, because that is like kind of game breaking speed. Comps very favorably to a guy like Pierre Thomas, who we saw have some fairly good fantasy seasons. For me, the big thing with him is, again, elite receiver. And we've kind of seen those guys really thrive over the past couple of years in that Lincoln Riley offense. Who was it? Like Woody Marks, who transferred from Mississippi State last year, had a really good year with USC. Waymon Jordan's one of those guys. Again, I don't think he'll go day two, but could be one of those guys who goes in like, you know, early or late round four that maybe people end up really liking for their fantasy teams, again, because of how good of a receiver he is.
Yeah, I'm interested to see those guys for sure. Let's go over to wide receiver, though, since we only have a little bit of time left. Wide receiver class isn't the greatest this year. Next year is going to be the one that we're all excited for. But I think, like you said, Jordan Tyson, he's kind of a good player. McShay's kind of comped him a little bit to Debo Samuel-ish type player a little bit. I could see that a little bit on him. You got the Clemson guy, Antonio Williams. The other guys aren't eligible yet. You got Carnell Tate, who can come out from Ohio State. Eric Singleton from Auburn. He's a burner. He can come out. Both USC kids, Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane, I think, are really interesting. What are your thoughts on the wide receiver class?
Yeah, so I think Jordan Tyson likely ends up being the first wide receiver off the board. He's a kid that has slowly developed. Freshman year, started breaking out with a really bad Colorado team. It was before Deion made his way over there and unfortunately tore his ACL returning a kick. And then ended up taking a little bit longer to recover. Transfers to Arizona State, took a little bit of time to kind of break out. But, I mean, he's got the athleticism. We're talking 20 miles per hour as a wide receiver, which is really good. Comps very favorably to guys like Andre Davis, Jalen McMillan, 0.943 star index score. But the thing with him is he's a very, very good route runner, and he does it all. He's very nuanced in his route running, creates separation within the route at the catch point. He can be physical. He's got that breakaway speed we saw at times with Arizona State. So I think this is a year that a lot of people, I think he's going to separate himself this year from the pack if he stays healthy. That's the biggest thing with him, right? Like I mentioned, injured as a freshman, took him to his junior year to finally be healthy, and then he got injured again last year toward the end of the year. Now, it was a completely different injury. It was a shoulder injury last year compared to the knee, but still, that's a guy that you know, if he can put it all together, I think is going to end up separating himself out as like the top guy. Wide receiver that I really like, and I called for his breakout last year, is Mekhi Lemon. You know, you just talked about Jaden Maiava and you know, him being the quarterback in that USC offense. We've seen these wide receivers kind of thrive there. Mekhi Lemon, he's not gonna give you the big breakaway plays, but he's not bad. 21.3 miles per hour for a wide receiver is not bad. his biggest thing is he might be the most technically sound route runner in this entire class. I mean, his ability to sell his head fakes, to sell defenders going one way and then whipping back the other, his ability to create separation within the route at the line, his hands are all elite. And he is a player who, again, he didn't break out till last year, which was his sophomore season. He was a guy who, just to give you guys an idea how quickly he's moved himself up the depth chart, he was a guy who was only returning kicks as a true freshman. Like, that's how far down the depth chart he was. And then last year worked his way up to a point where he was beating out his teammate in Jacoby Lane, who most people picked to be the guy for USC last year. Like, that's what his ascension was, and probably would have been even more had, I believe it was in week two, he got a concussion and he missed two games. It was two or three games of the season, and then still came out and was a leading receiver for USC last year with a bad Miller Moss leading the team. So, like, I just want to give that context. Like, Mekhi Lemon is a player who likely should be talked about as probably being a first-round draft pick. Antonio Williams, Clemson, I think he should be a guy that talked about as well. Now, he's a guy who's likely going to play mostly in the slot. Very much like what I just said about Mekhi Lemon. Like, if you're going to talk about him as a player, we're talking about a guy who's incredible at the route running part. 20.6 miles per hour, though, so he can break the big plays. But really, his route running is what is going to sell him. Forgot who else you brought up that you wanted me to talk about.
Carnell Tate, Eric Singleton.
So Tate, I mean, I don't know.
I'm interested to see what he could do this year for sure.
I am too. I think Carnell Tate is my biggest fear with Carnell Tate is I think he's a receiver that we just don't see thrive in the NFL anymore, but I think thrives in college football. And that is, he is more of that possession receiver. Like Carnell Tate, again, same thing. Like, he's really good at running routes. He will create, you'll sit there at one point, like, cause obviously they don't always follow the players, right? Like, a lot of times the cameras are stuck on the quarterback till they throw the ball. You'll watch, if you go back and watch some film from last year, you'll see Will Howard throw the ball. If you watch it this year, I'm sure you'll see the same thing. Julian Sandel throwing the ball, and you're like, how has this dude got 6 yards of separation? Did they just not realize where he was? No. If you go back and watch him run the route, he just destroys the cornerback, breaks his ankles in whatever it is, an in-breaking route, cross, or whatever it is. His problem is he brings no yak ability whatsoever. And it's almost like even when he has the chance to give you yak, he catches it, he just falls down. That just doesn't succeed at the NFL level when it comes to fantasy. Like, I think he's going to be a really good NFL player, but I just worry about what his fantasy upside is. And I do think that he's probably in for, unfortunately, probably a bad year this year. I am not the biggest fan of Julian Sand. And I think that teams will kind of focus in, obviously, on arguably the best player in all of college football in Jeremiah Smith. And so maybe Carnell Tate will get that chance to eat, because those teams will be focused on Jeremiah Smith, but I worry about Tate overall. Singleton.
Yeah. Burner.
I like Singleton. I worry my fear with him. So he can do it all. Comes from Georgia Tech. Actually, I shouldn't say can do it all, but comes from Georgia Tech. Very, very good player. Comes to guys like Joey Galloway, Eddie Royale, here, 0.973 star index score. We have him in a 97th percentile speed score at wide receiver, 21.8. So just to clarify, anything over like 21.4 is really good for wide receivers. I know people may think, well, you'd want it to be 22 because of running backs. Running backs just a different animal. But yeah, you mentioned it, burner. I think the main thing for me that I've really kind of struggled with Singleton is I don't think he runs the most crisp routes. So if he lands in an NFL team that is just kind of DK Metcalf, I think, is a perfect example of this. Like, DK Metcalf, a lot of people worried about him coming into the NFL because his route running was raw. And then Seattle came in here and said, hey, you run these three routes elite, we're just going to have you keep running these three routes that you're elite at most of the time, and look at what he did. If he goes to an offense like that, that amplifies that, I think he's going to be fine. Not saying he can't improve on that. I think this will be a big year for him. I mean, he's already playing in the ACC with Georgia Tech, but played SEC schools at times. Being with Auburn, getting a chance to play with Hugh Freeze, who's done a really good job with his wide receivers at times, I'm interested to see what Singleton ends up doing.
Okay. And then just a couple other guys. I mean, you don't have to talk about all these guys, but I think Deion Burks, he's coming out from Oklahoma. Denzel Boston at Washington. Bernard at Alabama is an interesting one. A couple of these guys could come out. Concepcion from Texas A&M this year. Zach Branch at Georgia now. And Elijah Sarad, I thought he was going to come out last year, but he stayed another year at Indiana. That's another, like, possession-type receiver that I think is pretty solid. But, yeah, any of the other wide receivers you want to talk about, or maybe a long-shot guy that you think could pop this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those guys. Zachariah Branch, I think, is a guy who probably should come back for one more year, transfer to Georgia. Still very raw, but elite athleticism. We'll see what happens with Kevin Concepcion. I think he's kind of been figured out, and I don't know that Texas A&M is going to be a good landing spot for him. I mean, Surratt is what Surratt is. I think he's probably a day three pick as a guy who might be interesting at times. Bernard, I think, could be a sleeper. We've kind of seen Kalen DeBoer has really been able to do good with these wide receivers and put them in the NFL. I don't think he's quite on the Romo, Dunze, Jalen McMillan level, but I think he might be just a step below that. Boston, really good, elite athleticism. If there's a guy that I want to highlight that I think is low end, that probably is a guy we should be paying more attention to, it's actually Eric McAllister, who just recently transferred to TCU this year. He's a big guy, 6'3", 205. But I think, you know, I mentioned Mekhi Lemon earlier is the most refined route runner in this class, and he is. I would put Eric McAllister as probably the second or maybe third behind Carnell Tate. This is a guy who is a really, really good route runner. He can make plays after the catch as well, and I think is going to be a guy who produces. Now, you know, you may hear me just say that and say they transferred into TCU, maybe thinking, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of thing. And we've seen what those TCU wide receivers have done, so I get that. But I really am intrigued to see what he does this year, especially because Josh Hoover's probably thrown for over 4,000 yards. But McAllister could be one of those sneaky guys at the wide receiver position.
And then two more that just came to my mind. Yeah. McShay has Chris Bell from Louisville as his wide receiver two in this class. And then the other one that you have at 104, Nick Harbor from South Carolina. Harbor is somebody that McShay thinks could be like a first round pick as well. What's your thoughts on those guys? Obviously Harbor's a freak. So
yeah, Harbor is a freak. I didn't realize I still had him. I must have the wrong ranking of him in there.
Okay.
Just to give a little back, he plays tight end and wide receiver. So I might've mixed my ranking of him. Harbor.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He is elite. 0.985. 98 percentile speed score, 88 percentile acceleration score, you know, comps very favorably to guys like Terrell Pryor, Chase Claypool. But I mean, when we talk about the rawest of raw route runners, it's Harbor. Like Harbor legitimately was playing like defensive end at one point in high school. So like probably where he should have stayed was on the defense, but he was like, well, wide receivers make all that kind of money, but he's a legitimate track star as well. Like just to give you guys an idea of how fast he is, he was competing to be in the Olympics as a sprinter for Team USA. That's the kind of speed we're talking about. So if he can figure out a way to translate that to the NFL football field, I mean, the sky is the limit for him.
Chris Bell from Louisville. Okay. But yeah, it's Harbor's kind of like, I think like a step up from DK Metcalf, you know, like, but he just has to like hit all the, you know, he's got to work on his route, work on everything, but the tools are there to be like a DK Metcalf type. But yeah, go ahead with Chris Bell real quick.
Yeah, I like Bell. So Bell is a guy that we were very high on. He has not really been able to put it all together. We'll see. Jeff Brohm, I mean, if you go back to both Purdue guys, and for the life of me, I know one of their names. The other guy is not coming to my mind at the minute, but he's put multiple wide receivers in the NFL. Oh, man, who was the other?
He had last year was Ja'Cory Brooks.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Brooks.
And he had Jamari Thrash, who's on the Browns.
Well, Rondale Moore, and who? There was another Purdue wide receiver who did really good under him, and I cannot. Why is his name not jumping in my head right now? But
go ahead. David Bell.
Yeah, there we go. David Bell. Yeah, who everybody loved, right? Oh, it was also with the Browns. So it's bad that I could not remember that. But anyways. Like, he does seem to do well with these wide receivers. My biggest fear with him is obviously going to be Miller Moss and what Miller Moss is going to be able to do for him. But Miller Moss is playing weaker competition, so maybe he'll be able to get him the ball. My comp for Chris Bell, which I think is a good one, I think this player probably would have had a much better career had he not started out. If I'm remembering correctly, he got drafted by the Raiders, but he reminds me a lot of Michael Crabtree. Like, that's what I think Bell could be. So, I mean, he's a player who's very good route runner, attacks the ball. He's very physical at the catch point. I think he's more better at creating separation at the line and at the catch point than he is necessarily within the route, but a very, very good player. He is very athletic, and we have him at a 0.914 star index score. So, I mean, he's up there 21.4 miles per hour, so he can make and break big plays. I don't think Mache is wrong on him. I think we need to kind of see it, though. He's really not put it all together at the college football level, but maybe this is the year that he does it.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got Miller Moss this year. We'll see what he can do with them for sure. Tight ends, nobody gives a shit, so we're going to skip tight ends. Let's go ahead. We'll do America's favorite game, and then we'll get you on out of here. So what is Matt's favorite college game of all time? We had some, you've mentioned Arizona State, Texas last year was a phenomenal game. A couple other games come to my mind. What's your favorite college game of all time?
That's an easy one for me, and I always get confused. I'll pull it down right here. 2015, college football went to a 4-team playoff, and Ohio State snuck in to the national championship game. I'm going to show you guys my ticket right here. It was the first year of the national championship. They had it here at Jerry World. And I remember I love the call, a run through the heart of the South by Zeke as he broke it through on Alabama, which pretty much put a nail in the coffin for Ohio State beating Alabama, which nobody expected, right? Nobody, third string quarterback, there's no way it's going to happen. And I remember my parents were actually in town for that game. Like, they were here staying with me and my wife at the time. We're staying at our house, and my dad was watching the game up in the guest bedroom. I was watching it on the TV downstairs. I remember sprinting upstairs and being like, they're going to the national championship. We have to go to the game. I sat there and waited as soon as tickets went available, and I spent over $3,000 to take my dad, my little brother, and myself to that game. To see them beat Oregon in person and win that national championship. Like, again, it was the first one that I ever remember seeing. Like, obviously I was alive when they won their last one against Miami, but like, I don't remember it. Like, I was young, right? But being there with, again, my father and my little brother, who also massive, massive Ohio State fans. My dad went to Ohio State. So like massive, massive Ohio State fans to be there in person and not even just witness it, but Zeke just destroying that Oregon defense, being right there next to the Ohio State band. I mean, I remember leaving that game, and for the next 4 hours, like, I still could barely hear because it was so loud in there because of the Ohio State fans and just everything. Like, it's a moment, memory that I hope I never forget. I will always, always consider that my favorite game of all time, just being able to go to that game and experience it with my dad and my brother.
Yeah, that's my unfortunate thing. I've never been to a college game before.
Oh, so. You are.
Yeah, I know I'm missing out.
Here's the crazy thing. I've actually never been to the Shoe, and I was supposed to go this year for the Texas game, and I ended up not being able to go. But like, I've been to multiple ones, and I have to say I've enjoyed them so much more than any NFL game. I've been to Texas now. I went to the 40 Acres to see a Texas game. I will be going to Texas A&M this year to see Lenora Sellers come down and play the Aggies. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, the Shoe is on. I got to get up to a game in the Shoe.
Me too. So my favorite game that I watched, I just remember the hype around it. And I remember being in the peak of my playing college football on PlayStation was the Texas USC national title game, Reggie Bush, Leinart, Vince Young. Yeah. That was probably my favorite. That was just an epic game of how it ended and with Vince Young, and just Vince Young was incredible. Yeah. And then my other one that I always remember is Michigan, Ohio State. 2001, right before obviously they went and played Miami for the national title, that game came down to the wire, and one of my favorite Buckeyes, Mike Doss, with the interception at the end there to seal it there. That was one of my favorite games because that was like on the edge of your seat. Like, there, you know, the Buckeyes had so many close games that year. Like, they almost lost to, I think it was Purdue, and then he hit Michael Jenkins for that big touchdown at the end. Yeah, and then Miami was just a whole different animal. Like, that was one of the best teams ever. Yeah. And we ended up beating them. But, I would say those are probably my two favorite college games of all time right there.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say anytime the game is on. Like, it's outside of which is so unfortunate to say this because of how good CJ Stroud is, outside of the 2 years Stroud was quarterback, like, those games are always so close. Like, even this last year, obviously, they lost a couple years ago or 2 years ago with Kyle McCord, where it throws the interception at the end of the game with them a chance to win it. Like, every one of those games, I feel like no matter what, no matter how bad that team up north is, they, it always seems to be a really good game. So, yeah, those are always some of my favorites to watch as well. But, yeah, that's a great call on the Miami, Michigan one.
Yeah, and then the that 1 year with Troy Smith and Anthony Gonzalez, Ted Ginn, where they're going against Mike Hart and Chad Henne, I think it was at the time. Yeah. Like, that was another really good one. I think it was 1-2 at that point. Those games are always good. So,
Yeah, man,
check out campusdecanton.com. If you are wanting to get into a Devi League or Campus Decanton League, like, I can't recommend those guys enough for their rankings and stuff, their tools that they have on the website. Like, you can literally get the tool, sync it up to your Fantrax League, and it'll show you the best available player that's up for you. It's like, it's, you know, idiot proof basically to help you win your, some of your leagues, man. Can't recommend those guys enough. I just did a Campus Decanton League on Dynasty Barry's League, and just strictly used your guys' rankings the whole time. So, think my team turned out pretty good, so I was happy with it. But yeah, can't recommend it enough. Like, if you're not playing any of the college fantasy football or Campus Decanton leagues, if you're interested, can't recommend campusdecanton.com enough. So make sure you guys check them out. But yeah, where can everybody follow you at, Matt, and what do you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me at SportsFanaticMB on X. I'm not on there as much as I used to be, but if you want to find out anything I do, it's all at campusdecanton.com. You know, again, my one advice to anybody who plays Dynasty or NFL, especially those Dynasty players who constantly want to know what's coming next, I suggest just play one Campus Decanton League. Like, you'll learn so much about college football and the players coming up, and you'll get the knowledge of knowing when to trade for even more future picks and everything. And then it's not, I promise you, as Eric just said, we've kind of tried to make it as easy as possible to get into it with the roster management tools and everything in there. It's a lot easier than you guys may think when you hear 132 team, or 100, I think it's 136 now. 136 teams, it must be difficult. I promise. It's just like that first time you dove into a Dynasty League. You thought it was going to be difficult. It's so easy to figure out, and we're all there to try to help you guys out as much as we can as well. But yeah, everything I do is at Campus Decanton.
Yeah, and then also the Campus Decanton podcast feed and their Campus Decanton YouTube. Always guys are posting videos on there and have great content on there. If you want to learn more about college football, I definitely recommend it as the place to go. So definitely check those guys out, man. Appreciate it. So Matt, appreciate you coming on for this, absolutely, man. Talking a little bit about the guys that we need to be looking forward to. College starts this weekend. We got the Week 0 Ireland game coming up. See a little bit of Avery Johnson, who you talked about earlier from Kansas State. So that's going to be good. And then, a little over a week and a half now, we'll see Texas, Ohio State. That Week 1's going to be fucking loaded. Yeah. Oh, so week 1's going to be awesome. Just sit in front of the TV, tell the wife and kids goodbye for a weekend, and watch college football.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. I'm just going to tell you guys what to do right now. This is a foolproof plan. All right. Do it this weekend. Book a brunch for the wife and her friends with mimosas and everything for next Saturday, the 6th, and just be like, babe, I love you. All right. I think you deserve some you time with your friends. Send her out, get the kid, whatever you got to do with the kids, lock them in a room. They'll be fine. I'm just kidding. We're not talking to bed. Whatever you got to do, I promise you, the wife will love that so much that she'll let you hopefully watch college football all day. But yeah, Week 1's going to be absolutely loaded. It's whatever you can do to get on the couch all day, do it, because it's going to be a great day of college football.
And if that doesn't work, I say invest in some NyQuil and give them NyQuil for the weekend.
That definitely works too.
But no, Matt, appreciate you, man, jumping on for this one. I'm sure we'll do this here again before the draft, and I'll have you on again next year too to talk about this, man. So I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. We'll be back next week for episode 109, which is probably going to be one of everybody's favorite episodes. It'll be the depth chart porn episode. We're going to go through every single depth chart. I'm pretty sure Scott's going to come on, but we're not 100% yet, but hopefully Scott comes on for that, like we do every year. That's like a 3.5-hour marathon podcast that we go through, so that'll be a lot of fun. But Matt, appreciate you as always, man, and we will see you guys next week.